Here's the Word of God, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. Then Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he delivered to them his goods, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to the fields to feed his swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him any opportunity. No one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's servants have bread and enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us be merry. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Maybe you remember back in 1993, a program that appeared on CBS late night television. It ran from 1993 to 2015, and it was called The Late Show with David Letterman. Now, I was rarely awake at 11:35 when that show came on, so I'm taking this on faith. But one of the things that David Letterman popularized in his show was his 10 lists, his list of 10 things. And one was called The Top 10 Things You Will Never Hear a Dad Say. And since this is Father's Day, it's a good morning to read it. 10 things you've never heard come out of your father's mouth. Number 10. "Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we'll have to stop and ask for directions." Number 9. "You know, Pumpkin, you're now 13. You'll be ready for unchaperoned car dates. Won't that be fun?" Number 8. "I noticed that all your friends seem to have that certain up yours attitude. I like that. I really like that." Number 7. "Here's a credit card and the keys to the car. Go crazy." Number 6. "What do you mean you want to play football? Finger skating's not good enough for you, my son?" Number 5. "Your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a party." Number 4. "Well, I don't know what's wrong with your car. Probably one of those doohickey things. You know, that makes it run or something. Just have it towed to the mechanic and pay whatever he asks." Number 3. "Now listen, no son of mine is going to live under this roof without an earring. So quit your belly aching and let's go to the mall." Number 2. "What do you want to go and get a job for? I make plenty of money for you to spend." And number 1 on David Letterman's list, things you've never heard your father say? Would you mind turning that music up a little bit? Now, if I'd been writing that list, I would have added one more. Go ahead and leave the door open. I am paying to air condition the whole outside. Father's Day can bring up memories and feelings for all of us. Some good memories, sadly some bad. I read a story this week of a priest who had served as chaplain in a very large state prison. And the chaplain told how on the days leading up to Mother's Day, he would pass out greeting cards to the men to sign to their mothers, and he would mail them for them. And he said that the men always asked for the cards, and he usually ran out. And finally, he thought, well, the next holiday, the next time it's when it's Father's Day, I'll get a lot of cards, so I won't run out. And the next month when Father's Day rolled around, he said, I was shocked when I showed up with plenty of cards and almost none of the men asked for them. And he asked one of the other chaplains why nobody wanted the Father's Day cards. And the chaplain said, most of those men never knew their fathers. And a lot of the ones who do will just as soon forget that they ever did. Another story I read this week was about a minister whose father was a very bad alcoholic. And when he got drunk, he got violent, and his son was usually the object of that violence. His experience of what a father was like, he said, wasn't very good. A father wasn't safe, a father wasn't to be trusted, and like the son in Luke's story, he couldn't wait to get away from home and vowed he'd never be back. Now, the Father that Jesus describes to us this morning is absolutely 180 degrees opposite from that Father. And Jesus tells this story because the religious people in town are asking Him, why are you hanging out with low-life scum like prostitutes and tax collectors? Why are you healing lepers and helping out losers? Don't you know what these people are? Don't you know what they're like? What's the big deal? You're supposed to be a holy man, a prophet. Don't you know who these people are? And so it's in that context that Jesus tells this story. He's explaining to the church people of His day what He's doing because it wasn't what any of them were doing. And according to Jesus, this is what God is always doing. He's loving His children unconditionally. He's loving them in ways that absolutely blow their old ideas about who God is and how God works in their lives and in ours. And in His story, Jesus wants to open our eyes and help us see a very different image of the God that Jesus knew so well. Jesus called His Father, God the Father, Abba. And that word translates as, in whatever language, Daddy. That familiar language the child uses with his father. And they're scandalized by that. One thing we need to learn, if the God of Jesus doesn't come to us as a total shock, then we haven't heard what Jesus really said. And we're still stuck in our old ideas. Now, when you opened up your bulletin this morning, you saw a painting on page 2. It's a copy of a 400-year-old painting by Rembrandt. It's called The Return of the Prodigal. It's considered one of his greatest paintings, and it's the artist's understanding of this scene in the gospel, where the prodigal finally comes home, comes to his senses, returns to his father. And in his interpretation of the story Jesus told, Rembrandt gives us two things that are in the picture that are difficult maybe to see, that we often overlook. Perhaps not exactly the details that Jesus gave, but Rembrandt's presentation. And it gives a note to the gospel. In Rembrandt's painting, it seems as though the Father is blind. And in Rembrandt's imagination, the Father doesn't even have eyes to see any or all of the trouble that his Son has done to him. That's love. He loves his Son when he spits in his face and asks for his inheritance. Because you see, you don't get your inheritance until the one who's giving you the inheritance is dead. So what he is saying to his father is, "Drop dead, Dad, so I can legally have what's coming to me." But his father's blind to that. He's blind to the insult. He simply keeps on loving. And instead of giving the boy the back of his hand that he deserved, he gave the boy exactly what he asked for. And the young man took the money and he went right out and he set him up all over town. "Drinks are on me. Good times. I'm paying." And quickly ran through the money and ended up living with the pigs. Now, scholars debate, theologians debate, that passage that we read where Luke says he came to himself and said, "I'm going back to Father. The servants have more than enough to eat. I'm starving in this pig pen." They debate whether that is real repentance or whether the boy is simply trying, the young man is simply trying to manipulate his father. Now, you take whichever side you want. I won't argue with you about it. In fact, I preached it from both sides. But this morning, let's approach it from the side that says the boy is a con artist trying to manipulate his father. Not sincere in his repentance, but he says, "I have a plan. I'll tell my father that I don't deserve to be his son. It'll touch his heart. I'll play on his mercy. I'll ask him to take me in and treat me like one of his servants. At least I'll get 3 hots and a cot." But the old man seems blind to that too. All this loving father can do is throw his arms around his son, and instead of treating him like a servant, which was the son's plan, he treats him like royalty. Which is God's plan. He puts a ring on his finger, which is, in effect, the key to the bank account that the son's already wasted a third of. He put the best robe in the house onto his son, which would have been the father's robe. And shoes on his feet, because sons don't go barefooted, servants do. And he showers him with kisses and presses him close to his heart. Now, there's something else in this painting that has puzzled people for centuries. Look at the father's hands on the back of the prodigal. Rembrandt has painted them differently. For some reason, one hand is very clearly the hand on the left, on the boy's left shoulder, is very clearly the hand of a man, calloused, a working man's hand. And the other is just as clearly feminine, gentle, the hand of a woman. Rembrandt is saying in his interpretation of this parable, there's something powerful here about God, about His understanding, about how God loves us. He seems to be saying that God loves us both as a father loves us and as a mother loves us. Now, this description is not meant to be derogatory in any fashion, because men very definitely can be very gentle. And women very definitely can be very hardworking. Stereotype is not the picture here at all. One hand, the calloused hand, is holding the son up so he doesn't fall again. It's the hand that's encouraging him and blessing him. He's passing on hope and energy to the next generation so that his son will someday be strong enough to pass it on to his son too. And with the other hand, the gentle hand, the father's also gently hugging his son. He's embracing him in much the fashion a mother might hug her child. This father is not afraid to show love. He's not afraid to make himself vulnerable. He isn't afraid to cry and open his heart. And Jesus is telling us, we have a God who is both strong and tender, a God who's full of power and might, and a God who's also full of love and compassion. If our idea of God is only one and not the other, then we're missing out on the real thing. I want to close this morning with another list, a collection of scripture passages that were put together to make up an imaginary Father's Day card from our God. Someone pulled one-liners from the Old Testament and from the New Testament and put them all together. And if you listen to them carefully, and they're reproduced for you on the back of the bulletin, I think you'll hear the two sides of God that Rembrandt is showing us in this painting, and the God that Jesus is showing us in this passage. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs of your head I've numbered. For you were made in my own image. In me you live and move and have your being. You are my child. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. All your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you're brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son Jesus. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father, and I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. Come home, signed with everlasting love, your dad. I had a great dad. He's been gone since 1996 to heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I have a greater heavenly Father As wonderful as Melvin David Sisler Sr. was, I have a Heavenly Father who loves me in a fashion Dad demonstrated, but God the Father exceeded. And on this Father's Day, as we give thanks for our fathers, let us give thanks that God the Father loves us with strength and with gentleness and with love. Amen.